Hallelujah. Let us bow our hearts and minds to Almighty Yahweh, ask for his blessing. Almighty Yahweh, King of the universe, we're so humbled before you, Almighty Yahweh, all the great things you continue to show us. Abba Yahweh, we pray that you would be with all your servants, all those gathered around the world, and be with those that need healing. Be with those that need comforting. Abba Yahweh, we know some brothers, they are fighting, Almighty Yahweh, the good fight. But we all need you, Almighty Yahweh, no matter what station we're in, whether we be down low or whether we be rejoicing, Almighty Yahweh. Those that have found your truth, they have found a gem, Almighty Yahweh. Pray that you would be with us through this walk. Be with all your people that are still learning about you and those yet to learn about your truth. Thank you for all your mercies. And Abba, help us. Help us to forgive others so that we might be forgiven. And thank you for your son, Yahshua, all that he did, all the many blessings that he will bring with him. We ask you all these things in the name of your precious son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. All right, you may all be seated. So I have a little joke here. It's mostly geared towards the children, but I did find it kind of funny. So anytime you find something that's clean, you know, you might be able to use it. So why was number six, the number of man, afraid of number seven? So the number of man was afraid of number seven, which stands for perfection. I know somebody here, they know the answer to it. You want to take a stab at it? 7, 8, 9. Yes, interesting. That's how Yahweh works, you know, with numbers. He works with people. And interesting, he doesn't need a lot to accomplish his will. And that's why, you know, there's only so many few in this walk. So the question, will he, Yahshua, find faith when he returns? I heard this verse quoted many, many times. And mostly we focus on the part about faith. But I'll take it from verse 1 through 8. If you want to follow along, it's in Luke chapter 18. And this is from the Aramaic Bible in plain English. So he, Yahshua, told them also a parable that they should pray at all times and they should not grow weary. And by the way, there's no slides, so you got to do this the old-fashioned way. So he told them not to grow weary and to pray at all times. So there was in one city a certain judge who did not worship Elohim, and he did not honor the children of men. There was a certain widow in that city. She was coming to him and saying, "Vindicate me of my legal adversary." And he would not for a long time. But after this, he said to himself, "Although I do not worship Elohim, neither honor people, nevertheless, because this widow wearies me, I shall avenge her, lest she be constantly coming and annoying me." And our master said, "Hear what the evil judge said. Shall not Yahweh or Elohim all the more perform vindication for his elect, who cry to him by day and by night, and he delays his spirit concerning them? I say to you that he shall perform their vindication quickly. However, the Son of Man shall come, and will he find faith on the earth?" And it continues, "And he told them this parable against those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they held contempt for everyone." So coming up here, I started thinking, wow, faith has a lot of components. It's not just, oh, I believe in a higher power. I believe that Yahweh exists. Yes, that's part of it. But Yahshua is asking, is he going to find the faith that is necessary when he comes back? And some of these songs that we sang, talking about Yahweh is our Redeemer. Yahweh is going to save us from our sins, right? From our stubbornness. From our adversaries, even that, right? Don't you sometimes pray, "Abba, can you help me with this situation?" You deal with other people. Maybe if you work for someone else, right? You have to show honor to certain people and they have certain powers over you. But anyway, Yahweh is ultimately the one who will put everybody in their place. So Yahshua says, pray at all times. What does he mean? So are you down and out sometimes? What about when you're rejoicing? You see those people, they win $1 million. You see them jumping up and down like little kids, right? Do you pray to Yahweh when you are rejoicing? It says, do not get tired of doing what is right. Sometimes in your daily work, you get tired, you get fatigued. And a lot of times it's not the job. You love what you do, but it's the people that get in the way. So we got to pray for those things. And Yahweh will ultimately avenge us. If anybody is an adversary, for instance, to Yahshua, who was his adversary, anybody that got in the way of Yahweh's will, that was his adversary, and Yahweh is going to avenge us. So the problem, though, he has is with those who trust in themselves, because many people say they have faith, but who do they really trust in the end? Yahshua is directing this parable to the know-it-all smarty pants. I call them smarty pants, like the rich young ruler. Could you imagine coming up to Yahshua and telling him that you kept all the commandments? Just let that sink in just a second. The master is before you and you tell him, oh, I already kept all those commandments. Like I'm already there where I need to be. What else is there for me to do? Yahshua says, you got a lot of work to do. A lot of work. So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the limits of human wisdom. So there's a lot there, because first of all, he called this judge evil. Why? Because he wouldn't avenge this woman, but he said, well, since she annoys me so much, because of that, I will avenge her. So Yahshua had a problem with that. Ecclesiastes 7, and then verses 15, we'll do 15 to 17. Very short, but, you know, this is wisdom coming from Solomon. The limits of human wisdom. In my futile life, I have seen both of these. A righteous man perishing in his righteousness. We know the scriptures have a lot to tell us about that. That's what Yahweh seeks. So a righteous man perishing in his righteousness, and a wicked man living long in his wickedness. So you could live 200 years. Look at the forefathers, how long they lived. You could still be accursed because you're practicing evil. Do not be overly righteous. Do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be excessively wicked, and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? So Abba has a time clock. Everybody has a time clock. And as it says here, if we go too far, Yahweh says, you know what? I got to cut you off early. Right? So that is for us to remember, as, you know, those of us, we have faith. Some of us have more faith than others. Imagine that. There's a price on that. Some of us have little bit of faith. You know, we're like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I was going to do this, you know. And we ask for prayer. Some of us have great faith, you know, like Moses. Moses had great faith. And some of the patriarchs, Abraham, he had great faith. Abba said, go, he went. We might have a little bit of doubt, but that's human nature. And so that's why we ask Yahweh, increase our faith. How does Yahweh increase our faith? Sometimes we wonder. You know, I remember we went to picket over there in Tennessee, and I asked Yahweh, don't ever let me feel comfortable in this walk. And you think he answered that prayer? Why? Because we get comfortable, right? We get comfortable. And then sometimes we forget about Abba Yahweh. So balance in righteousness. There's even a balance in righteousness. So Ecclesiastes 7, 15 to 17. 15 to 17. It's, the verse warns against an excessive pursuit of righteousness that leads to self-destruction. If you keep on reading there in Luke, there's a picture of a Pharisee and a tax collector. Both of them are praying. But what's the matter with the prayer? One guy is puffing his chest. The other guy doesn't even want to look up to the heavens because he recognizes that he is a sinner and that he needs salvation. So that's where we have to be at. So true righteousness is balanced and rooted in humility and dependence on Yahweh. That's taken from the Bible Hub. And also, we'll continue, Romans 12, verse 3. Heard a message on Paul and Yahshua, great message. If you look at Peter and Paul, they also agreed on a lot of things. Romans 12, verse 3, the problem with Paul is that he's taken out of context. He sounds confusing, but Peter backs him up, and so does Yahshua. So Romans 12 and verse 3, look what he tells us. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but think of yourselves with sober judgment according to the measure of faith Yahweh has given you. So I can't get haughty just because I get an opportunity to try to share with the brothers. But whenever I get an opportunity, if I could give somebody a break, the brothers need a break. The brothers need a breather. The brothers work hard. If you're not here and you're not seeing the work that is done, is hard work. It's bad enough dealing with other people's human nature when you're trying to discuss the word. So it's nice to have a good conversation with those that don't even agree with us. And look at the book of James. The book of James, you know, James, he wasn't into Yahshua in the beginning, neither was Jude. Remember there in John 7, they were making fun of Yahshua. They were saying, go up to the feast, you know, make yourself known. He said, nope, not yet. So the book of James, a lot of wisdom. If we lack wisdom, it says to ask Yahweh. But there's one thing that's needed. But if there is one among you who lacks wisdom, you lack knowledge, he must pray for it of Yahweh, who gives to every man, and he himself will also give it him. But he must pray in faith and not doubting. For whoever is doubtful, he is like a pair of balances on the sea. And we know about that. You know, you're well grounded, you're walking, and boom, you stumble, you lost your balance. That's how our faith is. If we're not careful, if we don't stay in the word, if we don't seek sound teaching, because there are many clowns out there teaching. You know, when Deacon Lucas was given a message, I just wrote down a couple words, and it was let me double check it. I want to make sure. Extrapolate nonsense, LLC. Another preacher came up with a new one I never heard before. Microwave preachers, microwave ministers. A person went down to Mexico and he preached the message, and now he's international. Unbelievable. Anybody can go down to Mexico. Just need a passport. You know, if you're not from there. So we're being told so far is not to depend on our own righteousness, but to have faith in Yahweh that in his time, he will deliver us from our struggles. A lot of people are struggling right now, not just financially. A lot of people are struggling with trust. How can I trust this person over here that he's guiding me in the right direction? How do I know he's preaching from the scriptures? How do I know it's not his interpretation? There's a lot of good preachers out there. They got little bits and pieces of truth. So if they continue being humble, Abba will give them more. If that's his will, some will never come to the knowledge of truth. And that's because Abba sees something. Maybe he doesn't like it. So did you know that Abba suffered? You say, when did Abba suffer? When Yahshua died a human death. Why did Yahshua say, "Why have you forsaken me?" Yahweh left him. He was alone. He was in heaven rejoicing with Yahweh, came down to this earth, had to deal with our nonsense, had to clean up our mess, the mess we made, right? The sins we committed. And that's why he had to die. And some still will not acknowledge him. So as Abba molds us and gives us new insight, we sometimes get a little conceited. We get haughty. I don't know if you've ever seen some of these brothers. Abba then says, slow down for a minute. You know that speed limit that's out there? It's out there for a reason. There's a speed limit on the scriptures too. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. We just had that for the Torah reading, for the evangel reading. And I'm glad that came up. Some of these scriptures were covered in the past couple weeks, but to me, I feel that that's Yahweh. Yahweh reminds us. Yahweh tells us, remember the Sabbath day. So he's telling us to remember. Why? Because some people forgot it, like when they went to Egypt. Luke 12 and verse 48. Yahshua is talking about people that don't know the same things we do. They don't apply the scriptures the same way we do. They don't look at it the same way we do. That's why they're not here. That's why they don't see importance in the feast. But they still want blessings. They still want insight. But he who did not know and did something worthy of blows shall be beaten with few blows. For from everyone to whom such is given, much shall be required. And of him to whom much they commit, they shall require more. If Abba gives you, we know the parable of the talents. If he gives you 10, he doesn't want 9 in return. Right? If he gives you 1, he doesn't want that same talent in return. He gave it to you. So what? He wants more. And that's why a lot of us, well, you know, I sometimes get on myself. I say, man, you're lazy. You're lazy. You need to get to work. So what's this telling us? We have received a higher calling. That's why Yahshua will go in on the Pharisees and Sadducees. If you call yourselves children of Abraham, why you don't believe like he does? Why are you persecuting me? So that's for us. And this scripture here, I like this one, John chapter 9. Elder Randy quotes this one, John chapter 9. And if you don't remember anything about John chapter 9, just remember all the way at the end, the last three verses. John chapter 9, the last three verses. And Yahshua said, for judgment I have come into this world, that they which see, the ones that say they know a lot, might not see. And they which do not see, so those of us who didn't know about Almighty Yahweh, he's going to reveal him to us. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Yahshua said unto them, if you were blind, if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't have sinned, so you wouldn't be worthy of many blows. But since you say you see, your sin remains. You just admitted that you know better. So that's the higher calling. You say you have faith, don't get conceited. Don't be self-righteous. That's just a reminder to a lot of us here. I'm glad that we're humble. You know, we share our experiences. I don't see this a lot here, but I do see this outside. And so as long as we do our best with what we know, Abba takes care of the rest. That's what he does. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom. And what happens? Abba will give you the rest. No need to be paper chasing and neglecting the spiritual matters. In these last days, we can see the love of many growing cold. A blind person can see this. You know, it happened one time. I saw this blind man. He was always playing the piano by the train station. And he was talented, you know. And so one day he just happens to stop me. Hey, can you help me get on the train? I said, sure, no problem. He had his little basket there. He says, now don't go taking any money out of my basket. I said, oh my goodness. I'm trying to help you, and you're accusing me of being a thief now. You see, come on. Let's be realistic. People are trying to help you. Many are confused and others ignorant on purpose. Have you seen that? Ignorant on purpose? They're out there. That's why we have that right there. Yahshua said, for judgment I have come, that those who do not see may see. So if you're not really sure, verify with the scriptures. If you don't trust us, trust Yahweh. I mean, find a way. Find a way. Yahweh will manifest himself, it says in that song, if you worship him in spirit and truth, he will. He will show you that he exists, and he will lead you in the right direction. It might not be here. Well, hopefully it's somewhere that's sound teaching. Scripture says Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. What did he believe in? When Abba came and spoke to him, when Abba said, sacrifice your son, your only son. I know you love that kid because you had him in an old age. And I know, you know, you like Ishmael too, but this is the one with the promise. So he told him, sacrifice him. What did he do? Did he run around in circles like Moses? No, find somebody else. He just went, and he did it. It also says Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. What do you know? A big word, grace. What do you know over there in Genesis? Unbelievable. People think it's new. It's a new thing. We were asking, I'm talking to some other brothers here. You know that little scriptures that they give you? It has the Psalms. It has Proverbs. And it has the New Testament, right? It doesn't have the old. It doesn't have all the first five books and the Tanakh. But why does it have the Psalms and Proverbs in there? Must be a reason. And we were looking at that this morning. The reason why those Psalms are quoted in Hebrews is a book directed to the Hebrews. There's a reason why. A lot of truth and a lot of prophecy. I mean, even Yahshua's quoting from there. I will declare your name to my brothers in the middle of the congregation. Do you think the people got mad when he declared Yahweh's name to all those people that want to call him Hashem or Adonai, which are titles, but Yahweh wants us to refer to him. I think about this, a lot of us, it is important to a lot of us. If we're getting paid for a job, and we're getting a check, that name better be correct. It better be on there correct. Otherwise, you're not getting paid. Well, Yahweh deserves honor and glory. Woe unto the unrepentant. You know, if you're being called but insist on being stubborn, that's a whole different matter. Because Abba's knocking on that door. Abba's knocking on that door. A lot of us, we heard the call. We heard the call. We felt the tugging from a long, long time ago. We knew, wow, we know there's something different that we're not being taught. It's out there, but we got to find it. And maybe you just forgot all about it. And then Abba says, hey, wake up. So let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. So Yahweh calls a lot of people, and Yahshua is like the manager. I want this guy, I want that, you know, person over there, whether you're male or you're female. He's choosing, okay, I want these guys on my team. I know these guys. Look at Peter when he chose Peter. He said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Peter had an excuse. He said, no. I'm going to give you a different job. You're a fisherman now, but I'm going to give you a different job, a better job. So Matthew 11 in verse 20. These are very strong, and this is for the time of Yahshua, but this is for now. Then Yahshua began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Have you seen a miracle from Yahweh and still choose not to repent? Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes like Nineveh. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. His people, they saw his miracles. I don't know, but have any of us ever seen a blind person regain their sight? Have any of us seen a deaf person all of a sudden start talking? I haven't seen that. I mean, you know, you probably do some surgeries, but I mean, the way he did it. And you, Capernaum, you will be lifted up to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades, for if the miracles I performed in you have been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. So when Randy and the others would have went there, there wouldn't have been no ashes there. That's what that's telling us. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. That's very strong words for those who witness Yahshua's miracles with their own eyes. So to that, I can only say, I guess seeing is not always believing. It's not. If you see it with your own eyes and you deny it. And when it comes to a rhetorical question, we already know the answer. So why ask the question? So Yahshua stresses three facts. Do not get tired of doing righteous deeds. Keep praying. If you haven't found an answer, even if Abba says no, like when Paul prayed three times, Abba said no, no, no. Do you think Paul stopped praying? If Abba says no, that's it. We just move on. Right? I mean, if we still got breath in our lungs, why are we going to, you know, worry about that? Do not get tired of doing righteous deeds. Keep praying and continue to follow Almighty Yahweh. He will guide us through his set apart spirit, that magnet. It's always going to drive. You're always going to want to come to the feast. You're always going to want to come to Sabbath. You're always going to want to study. You're always going to want a fellowship. You know, the fellowship that we have after the meal, the fellowship we have during the feasts. I remember one brother, he said, the time when you learn the most is the round table discussions. This is just like an appetizer for you. If you already know about the subject, you know, Abba can still give you more nuggets. Following and trusting Yahweh, for me, I don't know about you, following and trusting Yahweh, that's got to be the hardest. Do you trust him 120%, honestly? When you're in a pinch, you think, wow, no one can help me with this. What am I going to do now? Like Daniel, you're in a den with some hungry lions. They're going to tear you up. He did it. Oh, you're like the three Hebrew brothers. They were in that fire. They said, you know what? If Abba doesn't deliver us, even then, it doesn't matter. Now, that's pretty strong right there. That if you say, if Abba doesn't even deliver me, I'm not going to worship your idols. That's how a lot of us feel. I know a lot of us, you know, we'd rather grab a bat and go break down these idols, but that's not going to bring them to Yahweh. It's best to walk as Yahshua walked. You know, let Abba prick their hearts. And that's the faith that the people have. That's the faith that we hear about in Hebrews 11. That's what that's talking about. You know, getting chopped in half. Ouch. You know, it's a good thing that, for me, it's a good thing that the Master Yahshua, he's under the Melchizedek priesthood. Why? Even though he's under the Melchizedek priesthood, some people still want to go back to the Levitical. Don't you know that you have to do every single thing it says? Every single little offering when you sin, even in ignorance, you have to make an offering. Oh, I didn't know that was wrong. You still have to do an offering. See? So no excuse. Yahshua's blood is not enough for some people. So there's a difference between those who acknowledge Yahweh. And when we acknowledge Yahweh, we say, Yahweh, we fell short. We didn't make it to perfection. It didn't happen. For whatever reason, you know, we had a thorn in our side. We didn't make it. Did Paul make it to perfection? What about King David? Did he make it? How about Moses? One simple act that Moses committed kept him out of the promised land. But yet his name is in the book. Right? So we acknowledge, yes, we fell short, but you still strive for perfection. Right? You don't give up. You're like a stubborn Israelite. But except you are stubborn for Almighty Yahweh. You're stubborn to want to serve him. When this beast system insists on you being disobedient, on not keeping the Sabbath, on lying and cheating, you insist on worshiping Almighty Yahweh. You say, even if Yahweh won't save me, I'm still going to worship him. So how can we ever know what Almighty Yahweh requires if we believe his laws, his instructions don't apply? That's another issue you got to deal with. If you're saying that you have faith, but then at the same time you're saying, yeah, but that law over there, that's for those people over there. So how do you know? How do you know what he requires? How do you know what the laws here in Missouri? How do you know about the speed limit if you just ignore it? So let's say you head out on a journey. We're going to Jerusalem. Let's go on a journey to Jerusalem. Many people, we want to be there. But there's only one catch. No map and no GPS. So we're going to Jerusalem from Missouri. How are we going to get there? Oh, well, I know how to get there. No map. No GPS. That's the requirement. How are you going to get there? You might as well be blindfolded. So look at, sometimes even with a map and with GPS, we get lost. Have you had that happen? The GPS says it's right here, but it's not right here. What happened? That's why you need the scriptures to guide you. You got to check and double check. I notice sometimes we get happy, we get excited, we start bah, 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 quoting scriptures, and we got the scripture wrong. We got the right chapter, we got the wrong verse. We got the right verse, we got the wrong chapter, we got the wrong book. So I remember Elder Donald, he always used to say, whenever you read an article, always verify the scriptures. Always double check. So 1 Peter 4:17. How did Peter make it to the kingdom anyway? The way that he spoke, he was such a simple man. The people knew, wow, he's been with the master, him and the students. That's why they talk like that. 1 Peter 4:17. That's why people still ask, what scripture do you guys read from? It's the King James 16:11. That's what it is. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of Yahweh. If it begins first with us, what will happen to those who don't obey the good news of Elohim? That's the question. If it starts with Abba's people, what's going to happen to those who don't obey? Or maybe you don't, you know, you're kind of twisting the scriptures to make money. What's going to happen to you? If there is no law, as some say, then there's no sin. If there's no speed limit, I could go as fast as I want. I'm not breaking the law. And that means Messiah died in vain. That's costly. The only begotten Son of Yahweh died in vain because there's no law? Paul answers this question, the champion of many people. Romans 5, verse 13. Romans 5, 13. These are things you have to tackle when you say you have faith in Yahweh. You got to sit there and deal with these issues, these questions, these beliefs. A lot of these I would hear the minister say, well, people say this and that. And it wasn't until people approached me with the same thing, I'm like, wow, they actually do believe it. Huh. Romans 5, 13. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. As one brother said, now when you talk about the fruits of the Spirit, there's no law against those. Galatians 5:22, there's no law against those. That's what you're talking about when you say there is no law. The scriptures that need no explanation are still argued against. They're plain. They're right there. They're telling us, go this way. Don't go that way. Do this. Don't do that. Follow me. Follow my instruction. How about this scripture in Exodus 23 and verse 2. Exodus 23, verse 2. Maybe you heard this as a child. I heard this as a child a lot. Had no idea who Yahweh was. Had no idea on the scriptures. Exodus 23, 2. Do not follow a crowd to do evil, nor bear witness in a strife so as to turn aside after many, to turn aside what is right. Don't be a false witness. You weren't there. You didn't see anything. But we have this in our legal system. People stand before a judge and lie right to the jurors. And some of them, you think that they got away with it, but nobody gets away with mocking Almighty Yahweh. And Micah chapter 7, verse 2. So don't follow a crowd. They say, hey, come with us. I heard that a lot, to do things. Sometimes I did follow and I paid for it. Micah 7, verse 2. This is talking about our time. The righteous man has perished out of the earth, and there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. Their hands are on that which is evil to do it diligently. The ruler and judge, they ask for a bribe. And the powerful man dictates the evil desire of his soul. Thus they conspire together. Does Bill Gates ring any bells? Population control, who are you? Are you feeding all these people? Are you taking them into your homes? All those that want to invite illegals here, are you taking them to your home, taking care of them? Are you paying for their insurance? And when they do something wrong or commit a crime and somebody dies, whose fault is it? The ruler and judge ask for a bribe. Ask those politicians in Illinois that were selling Obama's Senate seat for money. So that's why we are called to pray for them. Because we got to lead a quiet life, right? We have to mind our own business, work with our own hands, so we can share. That's what we do. So we read about these things in the news. This is not a secret, right? Yahweh said, do not follow a crowd to do evil. But when it comes to injustice, well, I'm not so sure that this person is such a bad person, right? It's muddy nowadays. But on the other side of the coin, we have Messiah that gives us instruction. He poses a question in Mark chapter 3 and verse 4, dealing with the Sabbath. Because we don't have certain issues about the Sabbath here, but Yahshua did. He was in the temple of Yahweh, of all places, and there were religious folks there. There were religious leaders there who knew the Torah back and forth. Then he turned to his critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save a life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. I thought they were children of Abraham. Is that what they told him? He said, we're children of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anyone. So why don't they answer him? It's a simple question. Is it right to do good things on Sabbath, right? You're going down the street, somebody broke down, you help them? Yeah, but it's the Sabbath. That's what this is talking about. That's why. It's a kind deed. Didn't Yeshua say that? Don't get tired of doing kind deeds. The Sabbath doesn't stop, right? Pregnant women still have babies on the Sabbath. What do you know? But what happened? So interesting that his critics to this day deny his atoning sacrifice and will not even acknowledge that he lived, that he came to die for their sins. Continue in Mark 3, 5, and 6. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. I thought they were Sabbath keepers. This is what they do on Sabbath. They look for ways. They go to YouTube and they go on the chat and they stir up strife. They say things about Yahweh's people. This is what happens. But what are they going to say when Yahshua is in front of them? When he's asking them, what happened on Sabbath? What happened when I was trying to do a kind... What happened with the brother when he was doing a kind deed? He was helping his neighbor. What was wrong with that? That's why Yahshua calls himself the master of the Sabbath. He knows what is right to do on the Sabbath. Plucking ears of grain. Some say that was a sin on Sabbath. Harvesting is the sin. Not plucking ears of grain on your neighbors. Bringing a basket and harvest, that's the sin. They were hungry. David was hungry. He went to the temple. All we have is this bread. Only thing, if you stayed away from women for 3 days, that's the only way you could eat the bread. And they were clean, so there it is. Yahshua uses that as a teaching tool. So Yahshua still continues to bring our prayers before the Heavenly Father. And some still continue to spew lies about him after being baptized into his name. That's serious. That's the ultimate lack of faith in Almighty Yahweh, after what he did for you. So the question the sermon began with was, will he find faith? The answer is yes. But there's another question. Faith in what? You got faith in AI? Faith in your money? You got a lot of money stashed away? You think that's going to save you? Maybe you got a big army. Maybe you got a 200 million man army. Is that going to save you? So you can cry for the rocks to fall on you, but even that won't help you. That won't help the unrepentant. Will we ever find forgiveness if we don't forgive? Bitterness. It's tough to deal with. People did you wrong. Maybe you were a child. Something traumatic happened. But today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's interesting. We're going to read that in a couple of weeks, I think next week. Matter of fact, Hebrews 3 and 4, they quote right there from the Psalms. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You say you have faith. You hear his voice. It's calling you to go to the higher level. So you have miracles done in another name. That's Yahweh calling you to a higher level. That's what he's doing. We'll close with words of confidence. Hopefully this message has touched somebody. I don't know. Maybe if you're upset about something, maybe you have a different belief. May Abba help all of us with our faith. Words of confidence for the servants of Yahweh. 2 Thessalonians 1, 5 through 8. When you think about somebody that suffered just to bring you the bread, the word, somebody that suffered, maybe like even literally, somebody suffered to bring you some food, you know, just to bless a servant of Yahweh. Think about 2 Thessalonians 1, 5 through 8. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of Yahweh, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of Yahweh, for which you are also suffering. Which one of us is not suffering here? Since indeed Elohim considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us. He was referring to him and his evangelist friends. When the Master Yahshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know Yahweh and those who do not obey the evangel of our Master Yahshua. That's scary. Many people know John 3:16. Read down to verse 18. Read down to verse 18 in John 3. So in closing, Yahshua says in John 3:12, if you do not believe when I spoke to you about earthly matters, how are you going to believe when I speak to you about the heavenly matters? The people had their minds on the manna that came from heaven. But the true manna was right there amongst them doing miracles, saving people, not destroying people, doing his job. May Abba give us strength to endure till the end and continue to increase our faith in him. Always, Bashem Yahshua. Amen. Thank you all for your time. I appreciate you.